Why so serious?
All the toys, all the time.
I am the game, and still getting trying to play you.
You know the rules. This isn't a toy.
But we bought it at the toy store.
We did, but the way I'm using it makes it an adult thing.
Are you ready to play the game?
Yeah! Welcome to the Toy Department with Matt Kolsky and Derek Madden.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, it is Toy Department time. This is the very first of our Thursday challenge-only shows.
Yeah,
do we have a name for these shows, Kolsky?
No. I've been calling them our very special challenge episodes, but I don't know. I don't know what to do about that. I was thinking maybe like, I think I'm going to title the file Toy Department Challenge 36. Episode one. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, Thursday challenge pod works, whatever. But we've got a lot to dive into with just a stellar premiere episode last night. Did you get a chance to watch, I mentioned this on the Monday show, or the Tuesday show, rather, the
hype
the
show.
Challenge Declassified?
I did not watch the hype show. No, I missed the hype show. I wasn't on top of it enough to get it recorded, so I screwed myself on that.
I recommend it strongly if you can find it somewhere. You know, I kind of thought it would be a typical MTV hype show.
Uh-huh.
You know, like the sneak peeks that they run where it's basically just an extended trailer.
Right.
And it's definitely a hype show, but they really – it's almost like a full episode that leads up to what you see in the first episode, right? Because the episode that aired last night really just starts a jump, right? Like it's like
yeah.
Everybody's dropped off at the first challenge, right?
So did they go through like COVID protocols and stuff?
They didn't go through COVID protocols, no. They,
okay.
COVID was not discussed. Because
that's a choice.
Kinda, yeah. You do, you know, get to see them rolling up to the house and, you know, discovering all that. And then everybody sort of gets introduced and kind of talked about a little bit by other members of the cast.
Okay.
So you really sort of do get a really good get to know you. And it's like it's almost like you're watching a clip show, but it's all footage you've never seen before. Right. So,
okay. I'm into that.
So yeah, so and it's a full hour, and I think it's all of that is worth the time.
All right.
In terms of getting to know folks. So so I recommend that. Now as to last night's show, oh boy. You suggested to me maybe greatest premiere in the history of the challenge.
Yeah, I think it is. I've been thinking about it. And there's a lot of good premiere shows. But rarely do we get such a legitimate twist in a premiere. And so rarely are such big swings taken to where a twist like that could be implemented and have a real effect.
Yeah, because initially I wrote it down when TJ's like, there's a twist. I'm like, oh, this seems really early for a twist.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In terms of the game and the gameplay.
And I have a feeling there will be more twists, but... this was incredible, I thought.
But yeah, but the fact, and I agree, and the fact that you had teams really trying to make power moves in this first episode, and they dropped the twist, I do think gives it maximum impact. Because
yeah.
The power move in episode one is really rare, right?
Completely. And this was a double power move. Like... okay, so my wife and I were talking about it, and obviously, I mean, hopefully you've watched the challenge if you're listening to this podcast, but when Fessy and Anissa are standing there and CT and Ashley are already down there, they have a choice, and I thought of their two choices, they picked option three, which was terrible. Because in my mind, the two good choices were you pick... a layup rookie team, right? Which, like,
and
I don't
know, yourself.
No, yeah. No. Because they can't. I'm saying once CT and Ashley are already there, right?
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
You're not going to go in yourself. You're not going to debut episode one against CT and Ashley because that's what you think is happening. You're not doing it. But you could either send in rookies as normal who are sort of layup rookies, like I don't know, the what's his name, Leo, the wrestler. Or
right. I don't think he's going to be a layup, by the way.
He might not, but I mean that. But you understand what I'm saying? I don't know.
Yeah,
let's say this. I don't think there's any layups here. I mean, maybe there's one or two teams that.
Yeah, there's a. I think Amber from Big Brother might be a layup. I actually think she's going to wind up going far because of the alliance that she's in, but I don't think she's going to be a strong competitor.
Okay, so fine. Then her. Who's she with?
She's with Darrell, though.
Right. Exactly. So I'm saying, like, you're not. That's not going to work. So. You could have picked whoever you thought the weakest team of rookies was, right? Not rock the boat and probably have Ashley and CT come back feeling like you did them a favor. Yeah. Or pick Lolo and Nam, who look like an absolute monster of a rookie team, and be like, we want to see what these highly touted rookies have, but at least you're not making enemies of the most diabolical person in the house.
Yeah, I'm with you, by the way. I think that clearly – I mean, look, we have the benefit of hindsight somewhat, but that would have been the smart play is to take the beastly rookies
right,
and throw them in there. You do bring up, though, something that was a dynamic that I didn't quite totally understand. Like, they knew at the point of – you know, picking the compromise agents, right? They knew that there were only 10 skulls in the game at that point, right?
Exactly.
So why are CT and Ashley so mad about going in? You know what I mean?
Because look, why it happens every year. Like, I don't think – I mean, Ashley's mad because she thought she was going to lose. I don't think CT is necessarily upset if he gets the opportunity at a skull, but I do think he feels disrespected.
Right. I think he does feel disrespected. And you say it happens every year, and yes, that's true. But this is the first year where they've just been like, hey, there aren't going to be very many of these, and you need one to get to the final. Right?
Yeah.
So the incentive for going into the crater, or whatever, you know, or the elimination, essentially, whatever they're calling it, should be reversed this year, right? Like, it should be a good thing. Like, you're going to have to go down there, right? So,
but everyone thinks they can go down there at a time that suits them better. You know what I mean? Everyone wants to make their own decision. That's what it comes down to,
I mean,
right?
Wouldn't the power move – I mean, I guess it wouldn't have been a power move, but, right, like, it seems to me like it might have been a smart move for Anissa and Fessy to pick a layup or to, you know, to lobby the house to pick a layup and then go in there themselves and get the skull. Right?
Yes, but I don't
like,
think
so.
But I think that's the thing. I think everybody's onto that. So I don't think anyone was going to set it up to where Fessy and Anissa could immediately get a skull with ease. I kind of think that's why CT ended up in there, right? Because once
CT was right, right?
Yes,
like, CT is like, see, if they had come right, if those guys, it wasn't going to matter coming from CT because everybody had turned on them already.
That's true.
But if they had gone through the house and just said, hey, guys, it's week one. We don't know how the game is going to go yet. Like, I know everybody has big moves in mind, but maybe you want to play those a little bit further down the line.
Somebody should have said that.
See what the game looks like and then start playing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well,
like,
I would argue
that could have been a good case to throw a rookie in, for sure.
I would argue anybody could have made that case.
Right.
Like, that would have been a smart case for Cam and Leroy to make instead of, I can't believe CT didn't want me as a partner. Let's put him in the elimination. I mean, I love Cam.
All right.
I love her attitude. I love that was enough to set her off to blow this thing up from Jump Street. But, like, it's not prudent. It's not smart.
I love Cam, and you're right. But that's also who Cam is.
That's,
you know,
that's
what I mean?
Killer,
like,
Cam.
Like, Cam's going to be Cam.
Yep.
And you can't ask Cam to not be Cam. You know what I mean?
No, and so, I love how – you know, 15 minutes of showtime after, like, crying at a table and having some really deep girl connections with Ashley, she throws her right into elimination.
I didn't realize Ashley was at that table. Oh,
yes.
No.
Ashley was
That's
at that table.
That's one of the reasons why
table.
Ashley was so pissed, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. 100%. Uh-huh. But you know what? Yeah, Ashley has nobody to blame but herself.
Can we rewind for a second and just talk about that scene with the picking of partners? Because I thought it was a lot like the scene on the yacht in Succession. You know what I mean? Where essentially everybody's at the table, everybody's fighting for their lives, and people were clearly going to turn on each other. And I loved, like, just the sheer awkwardness of Cam coming to CT, CT thinking about it and realizing he didn't want a peer partner. Like, you don't see, like, I can't think of a time on the show, on any of the seasons of the show, where Cam just got straight up just disrespected like that.
Not only that, he, like, he was like, she was like, let's partner up. And he was like, why? And she told him why. She was like, bro, I'm Killer Cam. Like, I can swim. I can run. I'm strong. You want me on your team. And he didn't even say a word. He just turned and walked in a different direction.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a tough moment for CT, right? Because his political game is a lot about intimidation and holding his cards to his vest. And that was a place where it was just not an option, right? Like, he had to give her an answer in some way.
Yep. And it's an interesting choice. Like, I'd rather have Cam than Ashley. I mean, now he doesn't have Ashley. But if now, I mean, I guess that brings us to another big point. Like, what's the right move for Natalie, the new Survivor champ who just won this elimination? Like, who would you take as your partner if you were her? Because I have a feeling.
That's a great question. If you don't mind, I want to table that because we're talking about teams.
Okay,
and I feel
we'll
like that is a good discussion for that because there are some things about this game, right, we still don't know, even now. And I think that's going to come into play in terms of this decision. So, you know, it is a fascinating question. And this season, I think, is really bringing the fascinating questions. One of the things that I think makes the show really good is that they maintain it smartly. You know what I mean? Like, they watch the gameplay in a season. I think they have a good sense of what works on a season and what doesn't work as well. And then the next season, they step up and fix it. You know, I mean, we talked about last season how doing the skulls was a good idea. And how they gave out too many.
Yep.
Right? Like, And the next year, boom, they fix it. I think, you know, last year, you know, the location was a real character in the show.
Yep.
But almost in a, you know, in a dark way, right? It was kind of like
dark.
The NBA bubble, right? Like,
extremely dark.
It played a real effect. So this season, they still made the house essentially a character in the show, which I like, but almost in the total opposite way, right? Like, where this thing's very open.
Yep.
And it's going to be super hard for people to hide their conversations and talking. And I really like that about it. I like the room setup.
Totally.
All of that. By the way, what do you make of Leo and Cam?
Leroy and Cam,
because there is a Leo. Leroy and Cam as a couple, both as a couple, and how they're playing the game as a couple, right? Because it's like their personal relationship seems stronger than ever. Like, they're talking about moving in together. You know, Leroy's saying this is his last season.
I'm happy for them, man.
Yeah,
I don't know if I believe that it's
a good couple. I think.
Yeah, you know? I don't know if I believe that it's his last season, but I agree. I think they're a good couple. I think, I like both of them as characters on the show and as people to the extent that we get to know them, and I hope they're happy.
They seem pretty happy. I watched Cam and Leroy did a YouTube video where they're kind of breaking down the new players in the game.
Okay.
And they're just kind of sitting on the couch, and it looked like her apartment. And
So I'm just, you know, just on a personal level, between us, I'm going to need you to send me those links when you find them.
Okay, we'll do that.
Okay.
The thing that I think is interesting, though, while I think their personal bond seems really strong right now, they seem pretty committed to spreading themselves out in the game as far as they possibly can, right?
Well, I feel like they came in with a team strategy for the first time, and I feel like that's huge.
Yeah, it's in a game like this that where it's pairs.
Yeah,
yeah. I think it's gonna be helpful.
And
I thought it was interesting that they didn't want to stay in the same rooms when they went through the couple thing, right? Like they immediately grabbed hands.
Yep.
But went to look for separate partners.
Yep.
Right?
So, yep.
You know, and I think that ultimately it may work out to their advantage since they both wound up partnered with Big Brother players. And I think the Big Brother alliance is going to be a force in this game. They're going to be influential.
Yes, agreed. There's a lot of them, and they were smart about spreading themselves out as well. And look, Casey's
and like
a
Darrell
beast.
Says, they're fucking sneaky.
They are fucking sneaky, and Casey is a beast, man. Yeah. Like, let's not forget what a force she was on her rookie season last year. That's a really good partner.
I kind of did forget, honestly, like until like as soon as this show started up, I'm like, oh, yeah, like Case is a beast. Like she's a tough competitor in the challenges and she plays a pretty fierce political game.
Yeah. Yeah. And she was on her grind politically at that first party. No doubt.
no doubt. She's like, we're going to shore up Team Big Brother and we're going to fix this. And I think it's really the other thing I think is interesting about Team Big Brother is that Corey and Nelson seem to feel like they're in this alliance.
Yep.
And the Big Brother people don't really seem to feel like that, right?
So. Well, I think the Big Brother people might have caught on to the fact that, like, Corey and – well, Nelson in particular, but also Corey, who – I have to say – Corey grows on me by the minute. Like I like him more and more with every episode. He's still a big doofus, but he's becoming funnier and funnier. And like, he's pretty good at this, you know?
Yeah.
I dig Corey, but Nelson shows up on every show waiting to be bamboozled. Right. So I think they realize like they are part of the alliance, but they're first out.
Yeah. I think it's going to be interesting for Corey. Because, you know, he's got to stay loyal to Nelson, right? Yes, he does, right? And they set this up, I think, pretty well in that, right? Like, you know, when last we saw Nelson, he gave up his shot, he gave up his place in the final.
That's true.
For the dude.
That's true.
So, like,
he did.
He kind of owes him one, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And look, they really are, right? I mean, they've always been friends and partners on this. Like, I don't,
yes,
you know what I mean? Like, I'd never see them turn it on each other just regardless.
Yeah,
but
maybe.
I think he legit feels like he owes him. But I really think, like, this game does not set up well for what Nelson does.
No.
it just doesn't.
No. Like, as soon as they're like, this is going to be one of the most diabolical political games, you know, like, there's a lot of machinations. It's like, ah, oh, poor Nelson.
did you the very end of the show, right, when they do
yes.
like the clip montage,
let's do some spy stuff, and I was like, oh no, oh no, Nelson.
I was wondering who, like, if there was a spy movie with Nelson as a double agent, like,
oh
who
god.
Plays Nelson?
Oh my god, that's such a good question.
You know, I definitely think it's somebody in the, like, Vin Diesel mode. You need, like, a younger, kind of buff.
But Vin Diesel's...
Maybe not playing with a full deck sort of star.
I know, but Vin Diesel's too self-serious is the problem. Like, I think you
right.
might need The Rock to pull it off, you know?
Right. Yeah, you need somebody a little goofy. I could almost see like a Jason Momoa, maybe, you know
oh,
what
that's
I mean?
Pretty
somebody
good.
Like that.
That's
yeah.
pretty good. But yeah, like you like to play that part, you have to be able to pull off the Nelson's two big energies, which are I'm gonna kill you and my bad.
Yeah. Yeah, there's like a friendly Nelson energy too, like when
that's
he's
the
like
thing.
In a good mood and charming, you know what I mean?
Well, like, that's what I mean. That's why Vin Diesel doesn't work, right?
Right. Yeah.
God, though, there's so much going on here, and we didn't even really talk about the twist.
Yeah. Okay. So, do you want to get into that now?
I think so.
All right. So the twist in the show is essentially that. Well, there were a couple of twists, right? Like, they didn't know they were working in pairs. But once they decided they're working in pairs,
yeah.
The big twist is that there's going to be some ability to switch those teams. If you win an elimination and get the skull, you're going to get the option to trade in your partner for anyone in the game, essentially.
Yep.
Who is not except for the double agents who won the
previous challenge. Yeah.
Correct.
So, yeah. And the other part of it is it's single elimination. It's a partner game, but it's single elimination, and we still don't know what happens to the person who's left alone.
Right. So when you were talking about Natalie and what should she do, I feel like not having that information really has a lot to say.
Yeah.
About it. Right. Like, so you're saying, like, if I don't stay with Wes, is Wes eliminated from the game? If I don't pick CT, is CT eliminated from the game?
Right. If that was the case, let's say whoever's left alone gets eliminated, right? Well, first of all, man, it's so confusing. Okay, so let's let's keep it to CT and Wes, right? If whoever she doesn't pick between those two gets eliminated, who would you pick?
Ooh. Who would I pick? If you're saying one gets eliminated.
Yes. So you don't have to deal with them. Then you'd pick CT, right?
I think I'd pick CT. I think I do, yeah.
Because you're going to pick the better physical competitor and not worry that, like, Wes is going to somehow screw you in the end, right?
Right. I think that if it was a different, you know, if it was somebody, if it was Nam, maybe.
Right. Where
it was like
right.
physical competitor, but you don't know what their political game is like.
Yep.
And I think Nat feels like she's going to be a big physical competitor anyway.
Right.
Then I might go with Wes. You know what I mean? But well, with CT, I feel like you're still getting someone who knows the lay of the land pretty well.
Totally.
You know,
but also as you said, she's a great physical competitor. And I think you also have to take into account that this partner isn't going to help you in eliminations. Right?
Right.
So
that
like,
we know of now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So so that factors into it too. But here's the other question. Let's say she picks, just for the sake of argument, Darrell, right? What happens to Amber B? Does she get to choose between CT and Wes? Are they all three singles? Like, there's so much we still don't know, which again goes back to the challenge veterans like Cam and Leroy should know better than to make a power move when the game is still so unclear.
Yeah, I agree. And that's I think some of that has to factor into her decision about a partner.
Yep.
Right. In that CT and Wes have now shown themselves as people who have targets on their back.
True.
I think it's reasonable to assume at this point that the rumors going around that they were just going to try to pick off all the past champions.
Yeah.
Are true.
Yeah.
So it might actually make sense for her to pick someone else in the group who is connected in a way and also less of a target than those two.
Who would that even be?
And if you could pick anybody, well, shit, I was going to say Fessy, but he's the one guy
you can't pick. Is it Corey?
But I think there is another Fessy type in there somewhere.
Is it Corey? I don't know who else it would be, because otherwise it's either rookies or Kyle, and I don't know. By the way, side note, how incredible was it when Kyle was like, you know, Nani and I play a similar game. Me and Joey were on the couch and we were like, oh my God, they do. They both just like try to slide under the radar until it's the final.
Yeah, it's totally true. Their whole thing is, hey, we're buds.
Yeah. Right? Guys, everything's cool. Why are you looking at me?
You like having me around, so why would you send me home? Right? Yeah. Like, that's pretty much it.
I'm not going to win anything. Just keep me around.
All right. I'm looking at this group now. I'm looking at the entire roster. And I think I might take Leroy, actually. I think that might be it.
I think you're not
a champ.
Yeah.
You know, decent physical presence, connected in the game. Yeah, I think it's Leroy or Corey would make the most sense to me.
Yeah.
You know?
I think so. You try to pick someone who you know is a good competitor, but you also know is not a big target. And those guys are probably the best too. But again,
yeah.
If whoever doesn't get picked stays in the game, that's dangerous.
Yeah, well, look, CT still in the game is going to be dangerous for a lot of people at this point.
Yep. And honestly, like, they got to, right? They got to keep them in. They can't eliminate partners. Like I can't imagine there's a guy going home. I have to believe all the guys are staying.
Why do you have to believe that?
Because
I'm not sure I do.
Well, okay. I guess I'll say this. It would be the first time in challenge history you get eliminated without facing an elimination.
Is it the first time?
That's never happened.
I feel like there have been a couple of you get to pick someone and send them home, which of course creates a whole thing.
Really?
But
I feel like
once or twice that's happened. I'm just looking at numbers, though, right? And thinking about episodes.
Uh-huh.
And like, you know, like,
well, but
they're only eliminating one at a time.
No, well, I'm not saying that.
To the final, that's a lot of episodes.
But they can have double eliminations, right?
They can, yeah. I'm sure there'll be at least one or two of those.
Exactly. And you know, what they may have done in the past is like an instant elimination challenge, right? You lose this challenge, you go home. But
you're also right. I think that when looking at these numbers, there's not enough if you eliminated two at every time, there wouldn't be enough episodes. You know what I mean?
Right. So. And also, like, just from a – even if at the beginning, right, the idea was, yeah, just a dude's going to get dropped. They're not going to drop Wes or CT without having them play in an elimination. That just seems like bad television.
Yep. No, right. That's the other thing. It's like, I think it's at some point, the producers of the show are cognizant that they would like to keep their famous players in the game. You know,
well, and
I mean?
that's the advantage of not telling anybody what the game is ever, is like you could change the rules whenever you want. So I'm sure even if the initial idea was to eliminate people, they're not going to eliminate some of their favorite players senselessly at the very start.
Yeah. I think when you look at this game, you know, at a 30,000 foot level, the dynamic of rookies are screwed, I think, has really turned, right? Like, it is, I think you're going to see this for all shows now, right? It's almost the opposite, really, that like, they've been coming after the big high profile names early in this show for a few years now. And we've seen early exits for people like CT or Bananas or Wes.
You're right.
You know, in past seasons. And I think that they're like, I think that that is a deliberate thing on the part of the rookies, and the rookies understand that they have to make, they need to make moves early on big players if they want to have any say in the game.
And that's smart. But that's why it's so confounding that it was Cam and Leroy that led this power move in episode one, because they should know better. That being said,
and Anissa, right?
Yeah,
Anissa's a big part of this too. Like, these are veteran players.
Yep.
You know.
Yep. That being said, that's something they could change easily just by having less rookies, you know? So that seems like
they could, but I also think I you know, like I think, and I want to shout out to casting because I think they're really doing a good job.
Oh, I agree.
Casting the show and bringing in new people who really do bring something to the table. But I think the rookie class is tremendous.
Well, you were right
not
about
just
Lola.
In their, yeah, not just in their athleticism. But these are all people who are, you know, the fact that they come from other TV shows was something that I thought just seemed convenient. Like, oh, it's Viacom.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right,
like
right.
moving their properties around. But it also gives this effect of that, like, these people that come from Big Brother and from Survivor, like, they're ready to play the political game and they're ready to be on TV.
Right. They know what they're doing. Yeah. They know what they're doing on all fronts. Like, and if they have the physicality, they're going to be good competitors. And I wonder if what this could set up is a big, you know, two-team challenge between Big Brother and you know, Challenge Vets or something like that. And I would be here for that big time.
Yeah. Or like international, you know, sort of thing, right? Like there's almost like it feels a little bit like the NBA. Now, you know what I mean? Like that there's this like Euro contingent.
Yeah. You could do US versus the world.
Right. Which they did do that one season.
Yep.
The team was a little bit stacked on the US side, right? Like there were a couple of US people that went over to the world team or whatever. And, but I think they could almost do an even thing now and that people would be into it. Like they've set up enough international folks. And, you know, it's something that we talked about, yesterday we were talking about the show, like I think a really fascinating diversity in this cast.
Yeah. Which is great.
You know, which is cool to see. Yeah. And you can tell they're a little bit more attuned to issues like that, you know, in the show and that the people, I don't mean MTV. I mean the contestants on the show.
Yes. 100%.
And so that's it was a nice thing to see. It was a nice little wrinkle that was kind of thrown in this year, you know?
Yeah, yeah, and that's cool, man. I think the show demographically reflects its audience better. You know,
yeah,
like the MTV audience is very diverse, so I like it.
You know what I think is an interesting wrinkle when you know talking about the MTV audience too. Like, have you noticed? Right, there's more and more older music that has been popping into the show the last couple of years.
Yep,
I think MTV fully realized. I mean, obviously they realize they get the ratings, but like they have embraced that this show has a much wider demographic appeal than the typical pieces of MTV.
Yes.
Fare.
Totally.
You know, it's really, I mean, I don't, are there any other shows that, unless you're talking about like the host of Catfish or whatever, that, you know, feature people in their 30s, right? Like,
well, whatever they're doing with the friggin' cast of Jersey Shore, they look like they're in their 50s. So I don't know what's going on there.
And they do have a new Timothy Amber-Thiessen show, apparently. So
I think she's just hosting a show that already existed. I don't know. I don't get it.
It's a spinoff of Ridiculousness, which is the show that I only know because
they advertise.
It airs all the time, and it seems to come on after the challenge a lot. So I watched the first 30 seconds of it 100 times.
Uh-huh. Me too. Yeah. Also, did you notice Tiffany Thiessen dropped the Amber?
I did. Yeah, I did notice that. You know. It's a big year for Tiffany Thiessen, man.
I guess
She's out there. They're doing stuff. I mean, I think, you know, judging from the amount of episodes they play, that Ridiculousness is a runaway hit. So I'm sure being in a spinoff probably is a decent platform.
Good for her.
Speaking of shows, by the way, I did want to mention Nam.
I don't know what that show is. Ultimate Beastmaster?
What do you think the elevator pitch for Ultimate Beastmaster is?
I don't know. Does it involve animals or is it just like a ninja thing?
I don't know. Like, it sounds like you have to like fight animals, right?
That's what it sounds like, but something tells me that's not what it is.
Right.
Hold
on. So
let me pull it up. Ultimate Beastmaster is an American sports entertainment reality show. Oh, it's on Netflix.
Okay.
It differentiates itself from other obstacle course competition shows by showcasing not only international talent, but by producing six localized versions featuring select hosts, actors, comedians, and athletes as commentators across six countries, blah, blah, blah. So it seems like it's basically just a ninja, it doesn't sound very different from like whatever that ninja show is. But they have like different versions.
Oh, like Ninja Warrior.
Right, but they just have different versions in different countries, so they produce a lot of different, physical stars from different countries.
Gotcha. I did think it was funny when he and Corey were talking. He's like, yeah, I was on a show called Ultimate Beastmaster, and Corey's like, oh, yeah, I've seen that. I was like, you haven't seen that.
Hey, maybe he has, man. I don't know. Hey, what do I know?
It's true. It's a pandemic, you know? You never know what people are sitting around watching on Netflix, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. Also, if you're Corey, you probably do watch, like, random physical competition shows on Netflix, right?
Yeah, that right. Fair enough. I do think Nam is going to be an excellent addition to the show. I was worried about him for the simple reason of, this is it seems like a highly political game.
Yeah.
And he's not playing in his first language.
Yeah, but just listen to Lolo.
Also true. I'm less worried about him now because it seems like, in addition to being just yoked.
Yeah, he's a physical specimen.
That he seems to have a decent personality too.
Yes, I would agree. I would agree.
So, so he seems like he's going to be a real force in this game. I'll tell you, I already shouted out the casting, but the fact that we're doing this season without Johnny Bananas and you don't miss him at all.
No. Yeah.
Is a triumph because I think that the competition is stacked. You know what I mean? Like there are just some beasts in this show.
Yeah.
Both on the men's side and on the women's side. So people who you're like, oh, it's going to be really hard to beat them in some kind of physical challenge. You better hope you get like the spelling bee or a puzzle or something.
There are enough of those people that I think we've got some real headbangers on tap.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's going to be that for sure. And my hope is, that if Lolo, is a success on this show, that we see this is kind of the entrance for more athletes on the backside of their careers to come compete. You know what I mean? Like if you are an NFL player, who's sort of maybe done at 27 or 28, and you still want to compete in something and, you want it to maybe be slightly less physically stressful than the NFL.
Yeah.
This seems like this would be a great option for you to come onto the show.
It would seem like any college athlete who either finishes or doesn't have a pro career would be a legitimate candidate, right? I mean, like,
if that's Lolo, that's Fessy, basically, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's Big Brother too, I think. But if Lolo,
but he
has success,
football.
Yeah. If Lolo has success, and then this. The challenge, it does seem to be leveling up in terms of national attention. And I don't know if that's just because they're advertising more or if that's real. But if that's happening and the exposure is bigger, all of a sudden it becomes a pretty appealing option for an athlete whose professional career isn't happening.
Yeah. And I think that's the next step for the show is continuing to offer bigger prizes.
Yes.
Like there should be a million for the winner every year. I feel like MTV can pony that up. I don't really know their finances in the pandemic, but it seems like
they've given away
$1 million before. It seems like they could do it again.
I think that is the Rubicon we've crossed. Like the prize, at least the total prize, has to be $1 million now, and I don't imagine it'll go back.
Yeah, and when you look at like Leo on this game, he's pretty open. Like I'm here to get this money. From my family.
Hell yeah.
So I think a little bit more money incentive also might change the player pool in a way that would be positive. Not that they don't have a great player pool right now, as we just said.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be a pretty epic season when we're all done.
I tend to agree, sir.
Can we talk about this was my favorite bit of show craft.
Okay.
Today, the shoe in CT in from CT to West.
Oh my
face.
God. Oh my God. Like,
what a moment.
And how them, lucky can you get as a television producer
to take that moment and bust out the super slow-mo, and they had the long shot so that you could see it all coming, like, oh, CT's right in front of Wes and he doesn't realize it. Like, you see all that, and then to play the opera music, right?
Which yes.
I can't think of a time the challenge has ever done anything like this.
No.
And it all worked to perfection.
Oh, my God.
What a great scene.
They just leaned all the way into the hilarity of it. But again, that's what's beautiful about this show. Even if that was a sort of unique moment historically in the challenge, this is why we love the challenge, is because it combines actual physical stuff that, especially now, I mean, look, in season 15, it wasn't necessarily like this. But now, it's not normal people stuff. You know,
yeah,
like to legitimately physically compete, like Anissa, God love her, she's not going to last. There's too much. I mean, maybe she will. I shouldn't say that. She has a chance. But like the physical side of this is
right. She has a chance because she's strapped Fezzi's back right now, basically. Right?
Boy, was winning that first challenge big for her, man.
It sure was. You know, the other thing about that scene that I think is great is TJ, right? Like TJ yep. is dying. You know?
TJ laughing at the misfortune of competitors is one of the great challenge traditions, of course.
Agreed. Like, can you imagine Jeff Prost
no.
or Chris
no.
Harrison
no, no, no.
like
no.
just openly like guffawing at competitors?
No, I mean TJ Lavin is our nation's greatest reality television host.
He is, man. And like when he enters in the helicopter like the first 5 minutes, like just the giddiness on those contestants' faces.
Yeah.
Like,
no, it's amazing.
They're so stoked to see him get out of that helicopter and, like, slick his hair back with the shades.
The cooler TJ you know? Looks, the more excited yep. everybody is. And that's not just them.
Everybody
that's us.
Gets yeah, it's so great. Like, you can just tell that they love TJ. And who's yes. not? Like, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you love TJ?
Well, the one reason you wouldn't is because he's been laughing in your face for a decade.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess that's fair.
And he does it like his laugh at the misfortune of others is diabolical. It's loud. It's obvious. It's and then yeah. he'll say something like right in the face. You know, like he's just it's perfect.
Yeah, it was you know. Not a huge moment in the competition anyway, and yet just a fantastic scene.
Yeah.
Fantastic scene.
Yeah. I mean, that is the essence of the challenge. This fierce competition is happening, and we have time to step aside for 3 minutes to replay Wes getting hit in the face with a shoe.
Yeah. Something else I love, you know, I the contestants have such a good understanding of the game. Like, to hear Wes say stuff like, you know, if the girls were smart, they'd leave you alone, but they're often more scared than they are smart.
Yep.
That's a really trenchant observation about
well,
the way this game is played. You
yeah,
know?
And it's not
and
everybody.
And a lot of contestants have those, you know what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, but it's not everybody, because I thought the most brilliant, I mean, even though he ended up in the elimination anyway, I thought the most brilliant political stuff was CT. Because yeah. he stares right at the camera in his one in you know his individual, and he says, "I know they're going to put me in, but I'm going to walk around this house and see who wants to lie directly to my face." And then he starts walking around the house, and the other people are like, in their individuals are like, "Oh, CT's scared. He doesn't know what's going on." And it's
yep.
like, it's like, no, ma'am. He knows exactly what's going on. He is in your head already.
Yep. He's testing you. And I actually said the same thing. He's like, when you've been on this for a while, you understand what a room looks like when people are about to vote you in.
Yep.
You know? And so we're just looking to see who's lying to our faces.
Yep.
And that's really good strategy. You
it's
know what
so
I mean?
So good. And he's just like walking around with a coffee, looking all tired, CT, being like, "Hey, you guys haven't heard my name, have you?" So good.
So great. And when, even when he like kind of launched into that, like, maybe you want to, you know,
yeah,
you want to save your power move speech. I was at that point a little bit skeptical, and he was dead on. Like, he totally nailed it.
Yep.
You know? And you know, I think Cam and Leroy are pretty smart players in general, but they really kind of outed themselves as like sort of leaders of that power move, right?
They did.
When they didn't have to, you know?
Yep. And that was it, too. Like, CT had that, too, right? Like, then they cut to CT, and he's like, ah, Cam and Leroy led this. And you're like, oh, man,
and
he knows exactly what's happening.
Cam might have been, right. Like, Cam might have been a suspect because of what happened at the thing, but, like, wouldn't have confirmed it. And, what, you know, 20-something people voted for those guys, right? So, you know, they definitely could have hid in those numbers.
Totally.
Speaking of which,
Cam's not good at hiding, though.
Yeah. Right. There is this other asymmetry in the game, right? In that the power couple knows votes. And I'm curious to see, it didn't seem like it was really deployed a ton strategically yet. And I'm curious to see if, when, and how it does, that extra information gets deployed.
Yeah.
And if they continue to change what the information that the power couple gets, you know.
Yeah, I actually,
the double agents.
I actually thought that Anissa gave Fessy bad advice there. Because Fessy was like, do we tell them we know? And Anissa was like, no, we keep it secret. And she's on the right track. But the right thing to do would have been to lie about it.
Yeah.
The right thing to do would have been to be like, you know, we know this and that, but maybe mislead and try to figure out who you could get honest answers out of in terms of what their votes were, right? But it seemed like they didn't do anything with it.
That's right. That's the way it seems. And you don't know with the edit if that's true or not.
Right. Yeah. Now, what I wonder is if everybody else is still in the house, right? If CT and Wes don't get eliminated, maybe that's the time that Anissa and Fessy go to CT and say, listen, we know who voted for you.
Yeah. The way that I would have played that is to let people know that you got some sort of information
right
in that chamber and then have them guess and then maybe pretend to break at the wrong thing.
Exactly.
As people are guessing. You know what I mean?
Right.
And go from there.
But so if you keep it totally secret, there's really no way to employ that information.
Correct. Correct. Now, look, by the second or third round, when more than one person has been in a chamber, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's going to get out.
Some of that stuff will be less necessary.
Totally.
Yeah. But yeah, not that was a bit of strategy that I felt like went to waste. And I sort of wonder, you know, my suspicion, if you're asking me to guess what Natalie's going to do, she's going to stay with her team because that tends to be what happens, like, on this show, right? Like, when you give contestants the opportunity to switch teams,
they rarely do.
Historically, they rarely take it, right?
That's true. So, but historically, it's been seen as more of like, it's just so fast. Like, you're right, but usually by the time there's an opportunity to switch teams, there's some sort of loyalty attached, right? And I just don't know how much loyalty Natalie would have to Wes at this point.
Well, and there's certainly foreshadowing that she has had second thoughts about partnering up with him.
No doubt. Which makes sense, man, because she got thrown right in.
Yeah, but again, it's not bad to be thrown in. You know what I mean? Like, you got to go in to win. So,
well, and I think the thing that they're not realizing is last season with the unlimited Red Skulls, there was really, like, it kind of still made sense to throw people in if you wanted them in elimination, even if they had a Red Skull. If there's a limited amount of Skulls, I have a feeling people, like, Natalie's not going to go back in.
Oh, you don't think? I think, you're right. Natalie's not going to go back in because she's Natalie.
Well, she was really good.
Like,
and like,
if Big T won that skull, I'd be like, they're going to throw Big T in every week, right? Try to take that skull from her. You know what I mean? So
yeah, I guess so. Because we also don't really know what happens. There's so much we don't know. But, like, obviously, CT and Wes are not getting a skull here, right? So, are there only 10 individual skulls? And could we get to a point where, like, those skulls are handed out but there's still eliminations to be had?
Yes, I think we're going to get to that point where it's going to be like,
because then you'll have to throw
it. You have to take, you got
to
take a skull from somebody who's got it.
Yeah.
Right.
So that in that case, then you may go back in, but
right. Unless, you know, you're at that point and you win the challenge and you have a skull.
Yeah. That's
right.
True.
And then you're just trying to get two people who don't have them to get out.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I kind of think it's going to play like that. I mean, TJ definitely was hinting at, like, it doesn't keep you from elimination.
Yeah,
you don't
he
get
did
to keep
say
the
that.
Skull, right? Yeah. So, I definitely think they want people to come for those skulls. So, I suspect that will happen. Yeah, I just think it's going to be a really feisty game.
This was truly, this could not have been a better premiere, and it really. It sets up for an incredible season. I am very excited.
Is there anybody on the romance front, right? I mean, it seems like there are a couple folks here who are like they're just like, let's get this Michi guy in here and see how many people he tries to hook up with, right?
Yeah. and I don't know what Gabby is doing here other than making out.
Yeah, that's another one.
Gabby is from an episode of Love Island that the wife and I watched, and boy, she is barely recognizable. She has had some work done.
Gotcha. Gabby's move, right at this point, with her seeming that as though she's not going to be a particularly fierce physical competitor, right, is to.
Although she is sort of a little, like, she's little, but, you know, she looks like she has. She looks like a little athlete. I don't know, you know, relative to the other people on the show, I don't know how far that gets you. I'm not going to say she's going to be a terrible physical competitor, but like, she's in over her head. That's very clear.
Was she the one, the personal trainer is her occupation?
I'm not sure.
You know, so maybe she has something, but my advice to her would be to hook up with a strong player. that would be my advice. Even whether that's in the romantic sense, hook up, or just in an alliance sense, but you know,
yeah, either
grasp
way.
On to somebody. Because I like Leo, but I don't think that's an advantageous position. Like people are coming for Leo just because of his size and rookiness.
Yeah. Being the smallest rookie is a tough spot. By the way,
yeah.
One other thing before we go through the teams, my hate for Devin was immediately reignited. Like, for the most part, I like most of these characters on the show, and even the ones that like I find somewhat objectionable as humans, like I enjoy their presence, like. I want only bad things for Devin.
Oh, interesting. Like, but isn't your hate for Devin kind of a point for Devin, right? Like, Devin's playing heel.
That's
right?
Agreed.
That's his whole move.
Look, he walked in for the very first time and started a feud with Johnny Bananas. He has always wanted to be the heel. He's doing what he wants to do, but I do have a deep-seated dislike for him. Like, every time he talks, I'm like, this fucking guy.
I kind of enjoy him, I think, but for the exact same reason.
you know
what I mean? Like, yeah, you know, like I think he would be annoying to be around, but his presence on the show as like an irritant, I think is super, super useful.
Yeah. Joey, my wife, had not seen him. She's seen, you know, a decent number of challenges, but somehow had missed Devin. And I was like, the easiest way I can explain him to you is he harassed Johnny Bananas and chased him around a house until Johnny Bananas said a messed up thing about his dead father.
And, yeah, that's fair.
And after that, I was still Team Bananas.
Yeah. I want a few guys in the game who are not trying to be ripped. You know what
For
I
sure.
mean? Who are,
yeah.
Who are just coming in, you know, like he's – he is, you know, he's certainly on the West tree of contestants, right? And we need a few of those guys, you know.
Yeah, but he's not nearly as likable as Wes.
Correct.
Look, right now, though,
Wes took a while to evolve into likable. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. All right, let's go through the teams because we've gone very long already.
Okay. and there are a lot of teams.
There are a
I don't know that we need to like hit all of them per se, because obviously things may change as it goes. But so we'll start with Anissa and Fessy, who I think are going to be certainly influential in this game. I think that it's a really interesting dynamic in that Fessy clearly doesn't want to be Anissa's partner, and Anissa's very aware of this, and there are partners who can switch. So
I'm excited
to see if that continues to play out over the course of the season.
But you can only switch if you go into elimination. So
correct.
You know, when do you want to do that? And look, I like,
well, actually, I take that back. That is not correct.
Well, right? you only get the choice.
You only get the choice to switch. But
you're right. Fessy could get stolen very easily.
Right, and you could lobby to get stolen if you're Fessy, right?
Well, you know, kind of, but that's going to be tricky because, you're going to have to do it with both of the people going into the elimination, right?
Right, but that's not right. Like, if that means you only have to lobby a couple people. You don't actually know, I guess, who the second team is, right?
Right. That's going to be tricky.
Yeah, I just think that you could essentially James Harden it, right?
You could sort of go around the house and make it known. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Right. And what's Anissa going to do? Right.
Very little. But
yeah,
I think it's possible that Fessy finds he has a better partner than he thinks.
I think that's also possible too. And I would say that James hardening it just doesn't seem in Fessy's character, right? Like, he's not a talker.
Not. No. And also, just like Anissa, look. It's very clear where her weakness is, and it's endurance. And that usually doesn't hit till the final.
Yep. So you can sort of keep her around until the final. Although she was pretty bad in a lot of challenges last year. So,
she was.
So we'll see. You know what I mean? We'll see. This was, in a way, right? Like, this first challenge was pretty puzzly. You know what I mean?
It was very puzzly. But I have to I do have to say, like, when Lolo shot out of the gates during the race portion, I don't know who it was, but they cut to someone. One of the dudes was like, Lolo Jones just broke the sound barrier. And it's immediately clear the difference between a real athlete and a challenge athlete.
She didn't have to remind us, but I was like, oh yeah. Like, yeah, you're the fastest hurdler in American history.
Right.
Like,
she fast.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this is no joke. People should be scared of Natalie, and they should definitely be scared of Lola.
Yep.
All right. So next team up is Josh and Cam. We sort of mentioned them earlier. I think the Leroy Cam pairing with Big Brother thing, these are going to be power teams in the house.
Yep.
And then
Leroy and Casey, same thing, except I would argue that Casey is a better competitor than Josh.
I would agree. I would agree with that. Which is honestly not really a slight to Josh, because I think Josh is a pretty good competitor
in the
challenges as much as he can annoy me outside of them.
Well, I think, part of the question here is, can Cam keep a lid on Josh's emotions?
Yeah. This next team is, to me, is team don't necessarily underestimate us. And that's Jay and Teresa. Do you remember Teresa too much from the challenge?
Like, I do. I remember her as better than you expect and also a total psychopath.
Yeah. Like, when they started showing her and Nani getting fights, I was like, okay. But she had not left a huge impression on me. And Jay...
what happened to Jay's hair?
I don't know.
It's a rough look right now.
Jay is kind of a sneaky presence, I feel like. And I don't mean sneaky and like underhanded. I just mean like low key. Tougher than he looks, exactly.
But he's bottom four of the guys, right? I mean, it's just a really tough group.
Yeah, he won some big eliminations last year. You know what I mean?
He did. He beat CT.
So, Yeah. So, you know, I just, you gotta watch that guy. And I have a feeling he's also a threat to hook up.
Oh yeah. Show, yeah. 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 So. Yeah.
Kyle and Nanny, Anani is, we talked about them as well. Like yep. that's your all charm team.
Uh-huh. They'll cruise as long as they can.
Yeah. They're gonna they decide to try to get in there and get that skull, I think will be the most interesting thing for them.
But do we have any doubt that they're going to be the last team to actually think about trying to get into an elimination?
Yeah, I think they are definitely going to attempt to fly under the radar for a while. 100%. Yeah,
that's what they do.
Yeah, Kyle, I'm so delighted. Every time yep. Kyle shows up, like he's got his whole thing down. I don't know. This may have been in the classified thing, actually, but like, you know, he's been like wearing suits and like the old timey like bartender sort of thing.
Amazing.
Like that look with like all the tattoos.
I love it.
And like just being the suave British dude that he is. He is the champ of the testimonial still.
Yes.
It's just good times when he's just good TV. So, yeah. You know, I have a feeling he'll last for a while. All right, Leo and Gabby, we sort of talked about as well. Like that is the that's the rookie team.
Although
you don't want to be on the rookie team if you can help it.
Except there are two other teams that I think are weaker, and let's just throw them in here. Big T and Sleepy Joe. Which, bro, you can't go to sleep at the first party.
Yeah, man. As a rookie, you can't do that. Like, no. Maybe if it was CT, you could do it.
Sure, I guess. But he never would. Like, what are you doing, dude? And
you
poor
got no
Big
friends
T.
In the game. And your defense for it is just like, hey, you know, I don't take things too seriously. I'm like,
that's going to be a problem, dog.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
luck with that.
I don't know if you've noticed, but a lot of people here are taking this seriously.
Yeah. And I also feel like it's one thing to not take it seriously. Like when you're literally sleeping.
Yeah.
You know, at the party.
You're a mark.
Then that is
you're
announcing. Yeah. Yeah. You know, that you're not taking it seriously. So.
Yeah. I think that's the ultimate layup team is Big T and Sleepy Joe. But like. I don't know why anyone would be worried about Meshi and Liv.
Yeah, I think that's fair. You're right, and that is another all-rookie team where they could be targets as well. Yeah, I think they're going to be early. I obviously haven't seen much of Liv, but I really like what I've seen so far.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that she can stick around, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
Right. And she at least looks physically like she can hang, but Meshi really doesn't. And neither of them. Now, the question is, can they sort of play the Kyle and Nani game and fly under the radar a little bit and hang around for a while? That'll be interesting.
Yeah. There's one more all rookie team, and that's Nam and Lolo. And I, you know, nobody's going to mess with them.
That was smart of both of them.
People should not have let those two team up.
No.
The idea that those two were kind of last picks, I get it, nobody knows them, but, like, that's weird.
If I was one of the dudes, I would have gone for Lolo right away.
You know who I'm pointing a finger at? And
Wes?
Obviously, it's unsurprising that he maybe didn't make a bright decision. It's Noah Nelson.
Oh,
who
yeah.
ended up with Amber.
Yeah. Like, I don't.
Like, dude, you could have been with Lolo.
I know.
Like,
I know.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So.
No, it's true. Yeah, really, any of the veterans who have a rookie should have had Lolo.
Right. Darrell and Lolo would have been like.
Nasty.
You know, nasty. Yeah, exactly. So. And honestly, I feel like you could say the same thing for Nam. I think Nam is going to be a tough deal.
Yeah.
All right. So Libra and Casey, we talked about Nam and Lolo. We just sort of covered there. Corey and Tori, I think, is that's a fun team right there.
It's
two
fun,
likable, tough players. And
that's
they
right.
Rhyme.
Not only does it rhyme, they are going to be a tough out. Like that's a team that's going to be competing to win every single challenge they take place in, and. Like, there's nobody in the house that turns either of them into a pushover in the challenge. Like, they can hang with anybody.
And I like that they were the first team to lock in. And I think it was just one of those things where it was super organic and sort of clicked. Like, they just looked at each other like, you? Yeah, let's do it. You know?
Yeah, and they both know each other. They both know the other is a legitimate competitor. I like that team a lot.
Yeah, I do too.
All right, I think we got to talk about a pretty sneaky team here, which is my nemesis, Devin and Nicole. Because people may not remember Nicole, but she is fierce.
Oh, I remember Nicole. Nicole is fierce, yes. And Nicole, hide your women.
Oh, yeah.
When Nicole's on the show.
Absolutely.
So she hasn't seemed to lock into anybody yet, but I think that will be interesting.
Yeah.
She
likes
see,
the challenge. And I don't mean the television show.
I feel like Casey, I Have a Girlfriend is like the ultimate mountain for her to climb.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah, on the show. But they're both, you know, Devin is obviously an interesting competitor. And I think Nicole was a smart pick for him, you know,
totally
in terms of keeping him in the game. All right. Darrell and Amber that's just, you know, how far can Darrell take him? I think. Right.
Yep.
And then Amber's got a tough alliance. And I love that Darrell has the whole thing sniffed out.
Yep.
Like from the jump, like don't trust these mofos.
Yep. I can't trust my partner. Darrell is an underrated challenger, man, because so much of his winning happened when it was a pretty small thing. But you want to talk about someone who just, like, understands the game. Darrell knows what he's doing.
Yep. And he's no nonsense.
Yep.
And I think everyone who saw him compete in those seasons, even though you're right, the game was maybe a little smaller then, I think has that respect because he was just a fearsome champ.
Yeah,
you know?
An absolute force. Really the first, like, dominator of the challenge.
Yeah. So, and he is in personal training. So, I think he's pretty much spent all these years, you know, raising a family and working out. So,
totally.
I think he's ready to roll. Wes and Natalie, I like the pairing. We'll see if they stay together or not.
I mean, that might not be a team the next time we watch this.
Yeah. But I think Natalie has a lot of respect for Wes's game, right? Like, that's how they wound up together in the first place, really, right? Like, she knew coming in who he was and what he was about, and she found that to be a positive. So,
yeah.
I wouldn't assume that she's just going to ditch him because, like I said, people are hesitant to switch teams historically in the game. Joseph and Big T, Nelson and Amber, we kind of talked about mismatch, Misi and Liv, and that leaves CT and blank.
And that's the question. Looking forward, that is the question. What will the teams look like when we turn this back on next Wednesday?
Yeah, and look, the one thing we've seen just from the previews is that, the coming up this season is that CT was in those clips. So yes. I don't think he's going, I don't think he's going home.
Correct.
At the end of this.
And I don't know
whether that means that he got picked to be on Natalie's team or something else. We'll find out. Right.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Part of me hopes she picks neither of them so we can see what happens if she does that. You know?
Yes, I agree. There's still going to be so much to find out about the way this game works. And I can't wait for that. Just an A+ episode to like set up this season. Excited for everything about it. It was a hell of a competition. Well staged. That was another thing that really, like, when Lolo's talked about, like, I've been in stadiums all over the world, and this thing is impressive. You know, like, I don't know, maybe the producer coached her to say that, but that seemed pretty legit to me.
It did.
I really like the way that they've set up all of the TV elements of this show. Like, it looks really good. It's going to be a really fun season.
Yeah, man. The challenge is ready for the big time. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, it does. This feels like a level up. And I don't know if that's just because they've leveled up the marketing or the hype machine, but it's working on me. Like, I am so stoked for this year. And I think they really should. Like, in the middle of this pandemic, you know, at a time when people are really looking for competition sports and stuff like that.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Crank it up.
Step it up. Let's do this.
We just did over an hour of challenge content, so that should tell everybody how excited we are.
Indeed. And we will be back next Thursday with a full review on episode 2. Check our Twitters at Madden on Air and at Nikolsky. We may drop some links and content during the week, stuff for you to check out. I'll share that cam video with you right away.
Can't wait. And I have already downloaded the first episode of the official challenge podcast with Cam and Tori. So, we'll let you know what we get out of that. And of course, we're back on Tuesday with some more TV talk too.
All right.
It's lit. Bye.
This game's in the Admiral refrigerator. The door is closed. The light's out. Butter's getting hard. The eggs are cooling. And the Jell-O is jiggling.
So long, everybody.
And do me a favor. Have yourself a tremendous evening.